Good afternoon, and thanks for tuning in. This is your host, Diana, here with you every Saturday to bring you the news and top stories from the Military Times, your independent news source about your military. And right off the bat, we'll start with the top stories from the week, beginning with this one. Joint Chiefs Head makes first official visit to post-Maduro Venezuela. General Dan Kane, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, made his first official trip to Venezuela this week, 5 months after the high-risk U.S. military operation that removed the country's strongman leader, Nicolas Maduro, from power. Kane held bilateral discussions with senior leaders of the interim government and with U.S. embassy personnel. During those meetings, he underscored the importance of Venezuelan stability, broader security across the Western Hemisphere, and the military's commitment to implementing Trump's three-phase plan, Joe Halstead, a spokesman for Kane, said in a statement. The plan focuses on avoiding chaos, bolstering an economic recovery, and eventually facilitating a transition to democracy. A key pillar of the effort has been restoring Venezuela's oil industry, which Trump previously characterized as a total bust. All of that changed with Operation Absolute Resolve. The sprawling military raid, which involved more than 150 aircraft, culminated in Delta Force commandos descending on a heavily fortified compound and capturing Maduro and his wife, Celia Flores. The pair were later flown to New York, where they each face criminal charges. The U.S. military, meanwhile, continues to maintain a robust presence in the region, with the USS Nimitz Carrier Strike Group sailing into the Caribbean in May. Since September, the Pentagon has carried out at least 62 strikes in the waters off South America, killing nearly 200 people, whom the Trump administration says were involved in drug trafficking, according to data compiled by Military Times. Many legal experts dispute the legality of those operations. And that's all for that article, but up next, House panel votes to reinstate non-Confederate base names and adopt Department of War. A House panel voted Thursday to return the names of 9 southern U.S. military bases to those recommended in 2023 by Congressional Commission assigned to study the Defense Department's Confederate honorifics. After a spirited 30-minute debate last Thursday evening, members of the House Armed Services Committee approved an amendment offered by Representative Marilyn Strickland, a Democrat of Washington, to change the names in a narrow 29-27 vote. In offering her amendment, Strickland said it was necessary because the Trump administration ignored Congress by changing the new names, choosing to honor, instead, different service members with the same last names as the Confederate officers for which the bases originally were named. Strickland said while the current names honor military personnel in their own right, for example, Fort Lee in Virginia is now named for Fitz Lee, a Buffalo soldier who earned the Medal of Honor, the administration's changes sidestepped the law and were hurtful to many military personnel and veterans for reviving Confederate legacies. Strickland said, "They used the same stunt the commission considered and rejected, finding new service members that shared the same last name as the Confederate traitors." Republican Representative Don Bacon, a Republican of Nebraska, who voted for the amendment, said his Virginia ancestor fought for the Union and would be rolling in his grave knowing U.S. military bases were named for Confederate leaders, saying, "I thought we did it right in 2020. We debated it. It was a strong debate here. It passed in the House, a Democrat majority, and it passed in the Senate, Republican majority," Bacon said. "The president vetoed it, and we overrode the veto. We did it right. And what happens is the secretary comes in here, puts his thumb in our eye. It should bother all of us." Lawmakers opposed to the change said the long-standing names have widespread and international recognition and mean much to the troops who have served on the bases, even as they may not know much about the installation's namesakes. "To judge historical figures by the morality of our time is taking certain things out of context. I just heard we can't honor our forefathers who enslaved other people. Are we going to rename this city? Where does it end?" asked Representative Pat Fallon, a Republican of Texas. "I think Secretary of War Pete Hegseth and President Trump have struck a reasonable balance, Our history should be taught, not erased, the good and bad, agreed Representative John McGuire, a Republican of Virginia. Under Strickland's amendment, the Naming Commission's recommendations would be reinstated. Fort A.P. Hill would become Fort Walker. Fort Bragg would become Fort Liberty. Fort Benning would become Fort Moore. Fort Hood would become Fort Cavazos. Fort Lee would become Fort Gregg Adams. Fort Polk would become Fort Johnson. Fort Rucker would be Fort Novoselle. And Fort Pickett would be Fort Barfoot. Fort Gordon also would become Fort Sugart Gordon. The installation, once named for Confederate Major General John Brown Gordon, was changed last year to honor Master Sergeant Gary Gordon, a Medal of Honor recipient, for his heroism in the Battle of Mogadishu, Somalia. Strickland said she worked with the Representative Austin Scott, Republican of Georgia, to add the name Sergeant First Class Randall Sugart, who also earned the Medal of Honor in that battle. Representative Carlos Jimenez, Republican of Florida, joined with Bacon and committee Democrats to overturn the names. Codifying the Department of War. The panel also voted to change the name of the Defense Department to the Department of War. Representative Ronnie Jackson, Republican of Texas, introduced the amendment, saying that the change sends an unmistakable signal that America is willing to fight and win to secure its interests. This name reflects the determination and resolve of our brave men and women of the U.S. military who aggressively fight to secure our nation's interests, Jackson said. Our military does much more than defend the homeland. The War Department was established by legislation signed by President George Washington in 1789, and it remained so until 1947, when President Harry Truman sought to consolidate the services under a single cabinet-level command structure. Truman recommended that Congress pass legislation creating a Department of National Defense, which became the Defense Department. Trump issued an executive order September 5, 2025, to restore the name Department of War, a secondary title to the Defense Department. The department has been using the moniker but requires legislation to permanently change the name. Smith said the name change would have very little impact on adversaries. Practically speaking, it makes no frickin' difference whatsoever. We have a lot of important work to do and we're arguing over a name. It's incredibly expensive to change that name, Smith said. Earlier in the day, the panel also voted unanimously by voice vote to ban hate symbols like swastikas, nooses, and other graphics across the department, to include tattoos, uniforms, patches, personal equipment, and government property. The amendment requires the secretary to establish standards for identifying and addressing prohibited symbols and procedural review for removal. The proposal is related to a policy change last year by the Coast Guard, which is part of the Department of Homeland Security, that classified the Nazi insignia as potentially divisive rather than a hate symbol. Coast Guard officials said the policy change was misunderstood, and it was designed to clarify, not downgrade, its stand on extremist symbols. This is not an updated policy, but a new policy to combat any misinformation and double down that the U.S. Coast Guard forbids these symbols, officials wrote in a statement. And that's all for that article, but up next, more news concerning the Pentagon and Congress. Pentagon must divulge cost of Iran war under House proposal. The Defense Department would be required to report on the total cost of U.S. operations in Iran, including the costs of damaged property, expended munitions, and unplanned deployments and mobilizations under a proposal advanced by the House Armed Services Committee on Friday. The measure, which has bipartisan support, was added as an amendment to the House version of the Fiscal 2027 National Defense Authorization Act, a massive defense funding and policy bill. After more than 14 hours of debate, the committee sent the bill to the full House, where it's expected to go to the floor for a vote in July. Representative Seth Moulton, Democrat of Massachusetts, introduced the amendment. Moulton, a Marine Corps veteran, previously grilled Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth about the cost of the war. During an April 29th hearing, Moulton guessed the cost would reach $100 billion, or about $600 per U.S. taxpayer, he said. For the American taxpayers out there, I'm just wondering if they have an extra $600 lying around to pay for your war, Moulton said. That's a question we ought to ask. The measure requires the Defense Secretary to provide the House and Senate Armed Services Committees with an unclassified assessment of the total cost of the operations by April 1, 2027. The U.S.-Israeli strikes against Iran began February 28. In addition to the costs of damaged or destroyed equipment and property, expended munitions and deployments, the report would include the cost of an ongoing U.S. Navy blockade in the Strait of Hormuz, the proposal says. Pentagon officials estimated May 12 that the total cost of the Iran war had reached $29 billion, up from $25 billion on April 29. Jules Hurst III, the Defense Department's acting comptroller, relayed the figures to lawmakers during back-to-back budget hearings on Capitol Hill. Hurst emphasized that the projections did not include expenditures for repairing damaged military installations in the region. A Congressional Research Service report released May 13th tallied 42 U.S. aircraft lost or damaged during the war, with drones accounting for 25 of the 42 losses. The Pentagon has not publicly disclosed the scale of munitions expended before a ceasefire between Washington and Tehran took effect April 7th, citing operational security. A May 27th analysis from the Center for Strategic and International Studies, however, found that more than 1,000 Tomahawk missiles had been launched during the U.S. strikes on Iran, and 290 THAAD interceptors were used. In addition to providing the cost assessment to the Armed Services Committees, the measure mandates the Defense Department make it publicly available on its website. And speaking of the budget, up next, military pay raises, changes to housing allowance included in House-passed $1.15 trillion defense budget. The House Armed Services Committee advanced a defense policy bill Friday that would authorize the largest defense budget in history, $1.15 trillion, and gives military service members a 5% to 7% pay raise, depending on their rank. In a marathon markup session that lasted from Thursday morning until 12 a.m. Friday, committee members debated and passed nearly 600 amendments and the bill language of the Fiscal 2027 National Defense Authorization Act. The committee approved the proposed legislation in a 44-12 vote. It now proceeds to the House floor, where it is expected to be considered in mid-July. House Armed Services Committee Chairman Representative Mike Rogers, a Republican of Alabama, said the proposal would revitalize the defense industrial base, invest in jobs and military personnel, and reverse the damage caused by decades of underinvestment in the U.S. military. Ranking Member Representative Adam Smith, a Democrat of Washington, called it a good, solid bill that supports the troops by investing in pay and benefits, continuing defense acquisition reform initiatives, and supporting allies. But Smith said the sheer size of the cost should cause pause. The base amount is a 30% increase over what the committee did last year. That is a lot of money at a time when we have a $40 trillion debt, Smith said. Target pay raises, boost to BAH. The proposal includes a significant boost in troop pay beginning January 1, 2027, especially for junior enlisted personnel. Under the proposed legislation, service members E5 and below would receive a 7% pay raise, while those E6 to 03 would get a 6% pay raise. Members 04 and above would see their paychecks rise by 5%. The pay plan is higher than the 3.8% increase service members received in the fiscal 2026 year, but less than half the 14.5% increase they received in 2025. The proposal also increases the size of the active duty force by 40,100, including 15,000 for the Army, 12,000 for the Navy, 8,900 for the Air Force, 1,400 for the Marine Corps, and 2,800 for the Space Force. With the increases, the active duty force will total 1,342,900 members. Regarding benefits, the bill would remove a service member's basic housing allowance from calculations for consideration for the basic needs allowance, a benefit available to low-income military families whose income levels could qualify them for food stamps. The provision, which would base a service member's income and qualifications for the allowances on base pay and allowances, while omitting the significant stipend provided to cover housing, was included in the House version of the fiscal 2026 defense policy bill, but dropped from the final legislation. According to a 2023 department survey, roughly a quarter of the military families were considered food insecure, meaning they had difficulties buying enough food for themselves and their families. Health and child care changes. The House proposal contained several other provisions to improve the well-being of service members and their families. It would allow active duty personnel and reserve members on active duty to take bereavement leave in the loss of a pregnancy or stillbirth. It would place limits on the Defense Department's plans to restructure military health facilities, and it would require the Government Accountability Office to conduct an audit of TRICARE's pharmacy benefits. The bill would require the department to implement an initiative to improve procedures for processing complaints against TRICARE, the Defense Department's health program, by developing a system for filing complaints not handled sufficiently by the standard complaint process. And it proposes to allow military health beneficiaries to access physical therapy without a referral. It would expand child care options for military families by including au pairs as eligible in child care providers under the DoD's Child Care in Your Home Fee Assistance Pilot Program. Controversial amendment votes. The bill was advanced to the House with two amendments that are sure to spark debate among members and in negotiations with the Senate, including an amendment offered by Representative Ronnie Jackson, a Republican of Texas, to change the name of the Department of Defense to the Department of War, and an amendment from Representative Marilyn Strickland, Democrat of Washington, who proposed changing the names of military bases once named for Confederate generals back to the names recommended by Congressional Naming Commission in 2022. Jackson's amendment passed by a 29-27 vote, while Strickland's also was approved by the same number. Regarding department oversight, lawmakers agreed that the Pentagon should submit reports to the committee on the removal of flag or general officers, including the reason, concern, or inaction by the officer that prompted the relief. The provision stems from Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth's dismissal of Army Chief of Staff General Randy George in April, along with his interference in promotion lists that has resulted in the removal of more than 19 senior officers. The bill also requires an independent assessment into a decision last month to cancel the deployment of an Army Armored Brigade combat team to Poland and a report from U.S. European Command on an effort to remove 5,000 U.S. troops from Germany. The House $1.15 trillion authorization aligns with the Trump administration's Defense Department-based budget request. The administration also seeks an additional $350 billion for defense in a request known as reconciliation that requires separate legislation outside Congress's normal appropriations process. The Senate has not revealed its version of the fiscal 2027 National Defense Authorization Act. The Senate Armed Services Committee plans to mark up their version in the meetings next week that are closed to the public. During the lengthy debate Thursday, House lawmakers offered dozens of amendments on issues that included a proposal to reduce the amount authorized in the bill by $150 billion, an effort to shield the independent Stars and Stripes newspaper from department interference by protecting the paper's publisher, motions to increase oversight of the Secretary's management of the Pentagon's independent press, and a prohibition of the sale of political merchandise on military installations. All were defeated. The bill now moves to the House for consideration. Representative Rob Whitman, Republican of Virginia, told reporters Wednesday that he expects a vote to occur after the Independence Day break in July, according to a report from Politico. Up next, lawmakers move to require chaperones for sensitive appointments in military health system. Following high-profile cases of sexual assault involving Army doctors, House lawmakers have proposed that chaperones be required at military hospitals and clinics for sensitive medical exams. Members of the House Armed Services Committee voted unanimously Thursday to include the mandate in their markup of the fiscal 2027 National Defense Authorization Act. Under the provision, a trained third party would have to be present for exams conducted by obstetrician-gynecologists at military treatment facilities. The amendment was sponsored by Representative Jill Tokuda, Democrat of Hawaii, whose district includes Tripler Army Medical Center, one of the facilities where Army gynecologist Major Blaine McGraw is accused of sexually abusing and secretly recording female patients. McGraw, 48, faces 8 charges and 273 specifications involving 96 victims across a period of 7 years at Tripler and the Carl R. Darnall Army Medical Center in Fort Hood, Texas. During his Article 32 hearing on May 26, witnesses for the Army's Criminal Investigation Division said McGraw admitted recording patients, claiming he did it for the purpose of note-taking, but also told investigators he had voyeuristic tendencies as a teenager that were exacerbated by a traumatic deployment to Syria, according to the Killeen Daily Herald. Takuda's amendment would require military health facilities to train chaperones and ensure they be used for any exam, treatment, or procedure that involves the genitalia, rectum, or female breasts, or for forensic health exams. It follows a Defense Health Agency policy change last year that said physicians must offer chaperones for sensitive medical exams or procedures. Patients have always had access to a chaperone in the military health system, but doctors are now required to offer one under the policy. The proposed requirement would not have had any impact on a separate sexual assault case involving Army physician Major Michael Stockin, who was sentenced in 2025 to nearly 14 years in prison for sexually abusing patients at Madigan Army Medical Center in Washington. Stockin, an anesthesiologist and pain management specialist, pled guilty to 41 violations of the Uniform Code of Military Justice, including abusive sexual contact and indecent viewing with male patients during medical exams. At the time of Stockin's investigation, it was considered one of the largest cases involving sexual assault in the U.S. military. The committee's markup of the defense policy bill must pass the House and be negotiated in conference process with the Senate before it becomes law. And next up, here's some news I bet you didn't have in your bingo card for 2026. House rejects attempt to get answers about Army flyby of Kid Rock's mansion. Representative Pat Ryan, Democrat of New York, argued Thursday that Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth outdid his Saturday Night Live caricature when he reversed the punishment of 2 U.S. Army pilots who hovered Apache helicopters near musician Kid Rock's Tennessee mansion in March. Secretary Hegseth exceeded his SNL character's ridiculousness when he made a deeply problematic and pathetic decision to undo the pilot's suspensions, Ryan said. Ryan made the comments while attempting to add an amendment to the House's version of the Fiscal 2027 National Defense Authorization Act that would require Army Secretary Dan Driscoll to brief the House Armed Services Committee about why the investigation into the pilots was canceled. The measure failed on a vote 25-32. This amendment is really just about doing the right thing, which is getting answers on both what happened, but also understanding why the secretary killed this investigation. Is there something deeper he might be hiding or covering up? Ryan said. He described the Army flyby as inappropriate, dangerous, and a massive waste of money. Not to mention, it's in the middle of a war, Ryan said. Representative Mike Rogers, a Republican of Alabama, the committee chairman, encouraged committee members to strike down the proposal. I'm not sure what we gain from a congressional investigation, Rogers said. Ryan retorted that the amendment called for a briefing to the committee, not a new investigation. Kid Rock, whose real name is Richard James Ritchie, posted 2 videos in March showing him waving to an Apache helicopter as it lingered near the pool outside of his Nashville estate. Quickly after, the Army confirmed that 2 Apache helicopters from the 101st Combat Aviation Brigade at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, had taken part in the flight and said the soldiers involved had been suspended while the event was investigated. The Army takes any allegations of unauthorized or unsafe flight operations very seriously and is committed to enforcing standards and holding personnel accountable, Army spokesperson Major Montrell Russell said in a statement at the time. In a post on social media, Hegseth thanked Kid Rock and said, "Pilot suspension lifted, all caps. No punishment, no investigation. Carry on, patriots." The following month, Hegseth and Kid Rock took a ride in an Apache helicopter around Washington, D.C. area, the New York Times reported. "We're not asking for much here, just a briefing on why Secretary Hegseth canceled the Army's investigation," said Representative George Whitesides, Democrat of California, before the measure was struck down. "To my knowledge, he's never actually explained it." And in other news, Navy eliminates regular performance fitness reports for select pay grades. The Navy is eliminating regular performance reports for a handful of senior pay grades in an effort to, quote, reduce administrative burdens on senior leadership, the service announced Wednesday. Effective immediately, Master Chiefs, Chief Warrant Officers, and Limited Duty Officers at the rank of Captain are now exempt from regular periodic performance evaluations and fitness reports, according to the June 3rd Navy admin. Personnel in these pay grades have demonstrated a sustained history of superior performance and established records that negate the requirement for annual periodic reporting, the message stated. Previously, evaluation and fitness reports for the specified personnel were to be submitted on an annual basis, according to the Navy admin. The new policy change, meanwhile, does not impact reporting requirements for personnel assigned to a detachment. The message states, "Reporting seniors retain the authority and are highly encouraged to submit special evaluations or fitness reports for personnel in these pay grades to document distinctly outstanding performance or substandard performance or misconduct." The Services Bureau of Naval Personnel is overseeing the implementation of the new policy, while individual commands are instructed to ensure local policies and ticklers, or administrative reminders, are updated to reflect the removal of regular periodic reporting requirements for the affected pay grades, the memo states. And that's all the time we have. Thank you once again for tuning in to Sun Sounds of Arizona. This is your host, signing out.